It's just after 2. Time for Murph and Andy on 1460 KXNO, Des Moines Sports Station.
Murph and Andy Show, 1460 KXNO on a Thursday. I was thinking Wednesday because Mr. Movie's coming by today, but it is not Wednesday. It is Thursday. We're moving toward the weekend. Keith Murphy, Andy Fales, and Andrew Downs. Time to give away the $1,000 Christmas bonus. Text the keyword cash to 200-200 right now. Your chance to win. Standard message and data rates apply. Nice day today. Let's get this weekend started a day early.
Yeah, I was going to say, this might be Wednesday. The only Christmas bonus that actually exists anymore. People still get those? Yeah. I mean, that used to be just a really, just a part of the American lexicon. Christmas bonus. I mean, it was a... It's like saying Christmas tree.
It's Clark Griswold. It's a big plot point in Christmas Vacation. Right. He's counting on that Christmas bonus.
Yeah, that's...
And it turns out to be the Jelly Club.
Yeah, Jelly of the Month Club.
Yeah, he didn't want the Jelly of the Month. He wanted that big cash to buy the swimming pool.
Yeah, I don't think that, at least in the world that I rub elbows with, it doesn't seem like those things exist too much anymore.
AD, should we count on a Christmas bonus?
I mean, like a high five?
No, don't have to work on Christmas Day.
Yeah, you don't have to work on Christmas Day.
That's different than
I'll host the now annual cakes and a Christmas party at my house, so that's kind of a bonus.
I will take the not work on Christmas Day.
What was
Day.
The that's Christmas good. You know what, party like at the Channel 13 had quite a shindig, right, when you first started?
Oh, back in the day,
didn't
they
give away a car?
Yeah, well, not a car, but it was a big casino night. It was held down at the Marriott. It had a whole floor reserve, dinner, open
whole
bar.
Floor?
Really?
Well, yeah, like that big middle area.
Yeah,
the whole
yeah.
floor the is convention. Overstating it, but that big room.
Yeah.
And you'd come in, and it was fun because they would give you, you know, chips to play with. And then if you wanted some of these casino games, you could turn them in for like a television or back then a Sony Walkman. Or, you know, you just traded your chips in for prizes. So it was fun. Or you could gamble them away, as I did. But a lot of people left with cool stuff. And it was fun.
Man, back in the day.
Back in the day.
And then they started doing away with those. And you'd be like, where's the Christmas party? And they'd be like, well... It was that or fire three people.
Yeah. What'd you rather have for Christmas? Michael Admire working in January or a new TV? Okay. I'm Michael.
They put it all on you.
Yeah.
Like it would be like
first
your choice. Of all, it was not your choice. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's
man.
Great. Yeah.
Man,
what would you rather have?
Yeah.
Photographer Sam or, you know, a turkey dinner?
You get your casino night at Marriott or this guy gets to eat and his family.
Yeah, that'd be you. Feed Schumacher's three kids. You make the choice.
I don't know. That casino night sounds pretty fun.
I know.
But it does just stink, and it's not picking on any one company.
What would you
company.
Rather have, the casino night or the CEOs all get their 16% bonus?
Right.
I'll bet you.
Because that's what it was.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's what it was.
Oh, yeah.
There wasn't really a choice between... keeping people's jobs
no
and the
Christmas bonuses still exist
profits
just
were,
not for us
yeah profits right. were slowly eroding across and this isn't just unique to radio or television. Probably most people who hear us right now can relate to this. You know, the Christmas party used to be a big deal and slowly that went away because just of erosion of profits. But the reason it went away...
Yeah, the reason the profits eroded...
Yeah, you could still have the Christmas party and just not have the top-earning CEOs and the board make those multi-million-dollar bonuses, but they're not giving those up. So
yeah, like
the Christmas
when
party goes away.
Gannett is just letting all these people go at...
Hundreds of people, thousands
of people. At the register and their TV stations all over the place. And their CEO had a...
Like an $8 or $10 million bonus.
It was like $16 million bonus. That was his bonus. That wasn't like his salary. That was like the extra icing at the end of the year.
You know what that could have gone for? Saving every single job of people laid off at the register.
No kidding.
Yeah,
no
that
kidding.
Stuff drives folks
Don't try that on
crazy.
Me there, boss.
But most of us have been in one of those meetings where somebody speaking is like, well, yeah, we could do that, but you just look around. This happened to me at Channel 5. The guy did. He stood up and he's like, "Yeah, we can do that, but why don't you stand up right now and point to the five people you want to see laid off?" What? That's not on me. I don't run this company. You're telling me, "Yeah, we can get you a new camera. Just point to the person you want fired."
It's not the profit that he's trying to protect.
Yeah. Oh, God. Oh, man. Corporate business America.
We will have that conversation again before December 25.
You got that right. I'm not even sure how it came up today, but I'm glad that it is. Murph and Andy Show, 1460 KXNO. Three-time defending state volleyball champion Ankeny Centennial is out at volleyball. Valley beat Centennial in the semifinals. So Valley on to the state championship game, which is tomorrow morning at 10. Good to see Valley finally win something.
Yeah, that trophy case is getting lonely there. It hasn't had a new addition in what?
It don't want Centennial getting all the headlines.
It doesn't seem like Centennial's old enough to be the three-time defending state champ of anything.
I think they've won it every year.
This must be the first year they haven't won state volleyball.
Yeah, no That's kidding. Nuts. They already have a crowded
Remember when they
case?
Split Ankeny and it was like, well, it's going to be a little while before those athletic programs get back to where, you know, Ankeny was kind of riding high there. You split them up. Nope. Didn't miss a step.
Ankeny's kind of got a volleyball monopoly, don't they? I mean, because the old Ankeny was good at volleyball too.
Right. And that, I think many of those girls the first year moved over to Centennial, and I think they might have just picked right up and won it. And if you watch highlights, although they did lose today, you watch highlights the other day, saw this girl in the middle of the net, and she's tall and athletic. She's out jumping everybody. She's just throwing the ball down, thinking, man, she's good. And she's only a sophomore, and she turns out to be the daughter of one of the Iowa State men's basketball assistant coaches, Daniel Robinson. That's his daughter, Devin, I think her name is. And previously, Centennial has had the Winters girls, like they're the daughters of James Winters, who used to be an Iowa basketball star. Yeah, if you can get these former athletes or assistant coaches
kind
move
of
in,
live around each other, yeah,
get
man,
those
you can,
gals
you
out
can
on the
go
court,
on a run at state titles.
Heck yeah! State football semifinals start tonight. Three-time defending champ Pella plays tonight. That game starts at 5:30, and it brings us to a quickie poll presented by WCI Pools and Spas.
Yeah, KXNO.com, the Murph and Andy show page, also across the Murph and Andy platforms, Twitter and Facebook. Which town comes to mind first when you hear great high school football? Is it Harlan, Madrid, Emmitsburg, or Pella?
Now, I could have put West Des Moines Valley, or just West Des Moines in here, right? But that's so much bigger than these others that it almost didn't seem right, right?
For me, and I think some of these names will depend just on how long you've been following the local sports
scene. We have
scene.
Four entries here, so Appleton, Parkersburg, those we had to cut a few.
Some of this is geography. Some is probably how long you've been paying attention. Because if you're Michael Admire, and you know,
it's Pella.
It's Pella. Yeah. Your home has been 4 or 5 years here. Yeah. It's Pella. For me,
it's not just one school. It's two there.
Yeah, right. Because two in the Dome this year. For me, it's Harlan. I would say Madrid, but I unfortunately mostly associate Madrid with getting to the Dome and then not winning state. Did win at least 1 year, but Madrid just has not won many state championships. Just a perennial.
But it's still
team.
A town that is town. Just completely wrapped up in its football team, and the whole thing stops, and everybody at the town is at the high school football game on Friday nights during the season.
Right.
But for me, it's Harlan also, and I was starting to think that maybe that's getting dated, right? I mean, for the longest time. I mean, I think Harlan has 11 titles. I think they have like 11 state titles.
Jeez.
And they have them pretty evenly spaced, too. It's not like they were all back in the 80s or something. I mean, they had, you know, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, and I think they had one in 2009 was the most recent. So they really have had a long, sustained success, but it has been since 2009. So, you know, every now and then you have to kind of check in on stuff like this because your ideas start to grow a little old, right? I mean, they change, and Pella is the town of now, right, for football? I mean, right now they're on a hot streak.
Yeah, they are. Last year, Pella Christian played Regina in the quarterfinals, and everyone thought, what is this game why is this game a quarterfinal game? It's like they were the two best teams, it seemed at the time. They were one against two. This time they did not meet up, but they'll meet up Saturday morning or Saturday afternoon. So they're in the semifinal game, but Pella and Pella Christian at the Dome this weekend. That's quite a lot for that small town. Admire did a story on that last night. AD, what was the choice for you?
For me, it's Madrid. And it's because I guess I don't consider the Dome success as part of it. I guess when I think about it, I think of small town, like you were describing, Andy. Small town where everybody gets together on Friday night. It's kind of the biggest thing going during football season. When I picture that in Iowa in my head, I picture Madrid.
Fair enough. You can vote across the Murph and Andy Show platforms. The Iowa Hawkeyes, still a, last I looked, 12-point underdog as debate rages across national shows whether undefeated Wisconsin can get to the college football playoff. I heard Tony Kornheiser express doubt for that because he said even if Wisconsin goes undefeated in the regular season, Wisconsin's going to be playing a two-loss team in the Big Ten championship game.
Won't be able to get enough traction off of that.
That was his thinking. I disagree. I feel certain if Wisconsin is sitting there at 13-0 with a win over Ohio State or Penn State or maybe Michigan State still has a chance to get to that game, they're in. You can't keep a 13-0 Big Ten team.
I feel like we had this conversation
two years ago with Iowa.
But that was with Iowa.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Wisconsin kind of has an Iowa 2015 season right now, don't they? I mean, they don't
same
play,
schedule, kind of.
They do play Michigan, don't play Ohio State or Penn State, right? Play Iowa. Don't play Michigan State.
Michigan's the one good team
okay.
On the other side. And then, you know, they scheduled BYU, and I think when that game was scheduled, BYU was a little better than they are now. It ended up being a cupcake non-conference game that Wisconsin won by 35.
Are they taking some of the same crap that Iowa did that year?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Has Cowherd named Wisconsin the fake ID?
They're one of the contenders. I don't know that he's narrowed it down beyond. I think it was Wisconsin, Washington, and Miami are kind of the three, applicants for fake ID of college football.
Now, some of what gave that traction for a while was it just played out poorly for Iowa because it made everybody defensive, and then when Iowa was on the big stage against Stanford, laid an egg, and it looked like it was the Hawks looked like a paper tiger with the schedule, and then the piling on really started, and then last year get into a bowl game again, and again it reinforces that stereotype that was out there. A lot of that was blown apart this past weekend with Iowa just destroying Ohio State and an Urban Meyer team in a way that we really haven't seen. So it'll be interesting to see if Wisconsin continues to get the same kind of criticism. There is a real oddity in this series. At least I think it's a real oddity. The visiting team has won the past six games between Iowa and Wisconsin.
Yeah, that is. Well, you can certainly remember at least a couple Iowa victories there and some crushing defeats at the hands of the Badgers here.
Now, the schedule, I think, if you could check this, AD, I believe in those six games, you'll find that that Wisconsin has four wins and Iowa two wins. Because of a scheduling quirk, most of these games have been in Iowa City prior to this Saturday. So I think Iowa has won twice in Madison in that time, and I think Wisconsin has won four times in Iowa City.
Yeah, it's exactly right. Going back to 09, they played 09 and 10, the visiting team won. They didn't play in 11 or 12.
Okay.
And so then 2013, 14, 15, 16, three of those four games have been in Iowa City. I think that was part of you remember Wisconsin was in the Legends or the Leaders, whatever one Iowa wasn't in. They were in the different division. And so then when the divisions were realigned, I think that threw off the home and home stuff between Iowa and Wisconsin. But no, you're exactly right. 4-2 for Wisconsin in the last six, but all visiting teams.
And that's the kind of stuff that builds a rivalry, right? I mean, when the opposing team goes and wins on the road, that pisses the fans off.
Runs across the field.
grabs a trophy.
Grabs that trophy. In fact, Akron Wadley says he wants that bull back.
That's what I keep thinking about. You know, I was a part of the 15 team. We went undefeated. I didn't play at all. You know, that was the Kinzeri. I still was so happy just to, you know, hold hands with my team and run across the field. It was just like priceless. You can't pay for moments like that.
Yeah, you forget that when they went over there, that was the Kinzeri game there. But Wadley talks about how much he would like to be a part of playing and then getting the pig back. So that game coming up.
The bull.
I'm sorry, the bull back. The pig is Floyd.
Get your farm
already,
animal.
Pig. Yeah, already got that.
Pig already done.
What,
bull still to come.
9 out of 10. I was 9 out of 10 in trophy games.
Yeah, the loss to Wisconsin.
That's
would have been, last year would have been the only one.
Yeah, trying to make it 10 out of 11.
Yeah.
Coming up this Saturday. That point spread still seems crazy.
Especially because you look at these games.
Seems like it should get a lot of money on Iowa State.
These games are almost always close. I think in the last 6 years, only one of them would have been
final
beyond
play
a 12-point either way.
Final play. One tiny little play.
3-point wins.
Yeah. Tripping over a center's foot.
Right.
Yeah. And this past Saturday, it wasn't like, well, you know, the Iowa's just not playing well right now. It seems crazy, but I've said things like that, and then, you know, it ends up being, oh, Wisconsin wins by 13, and you think, oh, how did they know? They didn't know last week.
As a fan who's confident in how Iowa's playing and doesn't think Wisconsin is as good as they are ranked, it worries me that Vegas is still so dead set on this 12-point line.
Well, if you want to be against Vegas, just remember the Iowa-Ohio State game.
Yeah.
Okay?
And
try not to think about the Iowa State-West Virginia game.
Right.
Mike Gundy, Oklahoma State head football coach, loves Joel Lanning. After Lanning played both ways in that win over Oklahoma and special teams, Mike Gundy, he of the Million Dollar Mullet, sat down and wrote Lanning a handwritten letter.
When I watched him do that, where he played two ways, I don't care if he's playing the New England Patriots or the LA Rams or whoever, to play Mike linebacker or inside backer and have 8 tackles and then play quarterback in the same game, I thought that was awesome. I mean, that's old school stuff. That's throwback. You know, we hadn't had a guy here. Trammell called in this morning, and I had forgotten about this. RW did that in 95. RW played receiver and corner. But you're talking about a guy that athletically was a first-round pick. So, you know, I don't know that Lanning's going to be a first-round pick. But what I'm saying is I thought that for him to do that is pretty awesome, pretty unselfish, and I don't know that it's real easy to do that nowadays. I just thought it was awesome. I mean, I'm an old-school throwback guy, and for a young man to compete like that and be willing to say I'm going to play linebacker, and then if you need me to – which I'm sure he liked it. His history, you could probably go back and check in high school that he's probably been very successful because he's competitive. If so, he probably liked it. But you just don't see it much. He obviously is pretty intelligent.
That is true. He is competitive, and he is intelligent, and leads us to another quickie poll across the Murph and Andy Show platforms by WCI Pools and Spas.
Which player has been the bigger story at Iowa State this season? Is it Joel Lanning or Kyle Kemp?
It is amazing because they are two of the biggest stories of Iowa State football, probably arguably ever. They're great.
Sure.
They happen to kind of cancel each other out, though, a little bit this season. And, you know, I mean, they both have been celebrated a lot and talked about a lot. But the fact that you have both of these for a football program that has not had that many stories like this, to have them both in one season.
The Lanning playing both ways and special teams, well, he's not playing both ways full time, but in some games playing both ways and special teams, I understand why that gets more of the attention, but I do think the better story here is Kemp. I mean, this guy was third team in junior college, couldn't get on the field in any of the schools he went to, and then in his first game, he leads Iowa State to a win at Oklahoma, the number 3 team in the nation, and he's the national player of the week in his first game as a redshirt senior. It's been years since any college football team has beaten 2 top 5 teams in the same month. The only one to do it is Iowa State, and Kemp was the quarterback for both of those.
But at the same time that he's doing that at Oklahoma, Lanning is playing, 78 snaps on both sides of the ball, plus special teams. He's completing 2 passes, running for first downs, leading the team in tackles, forcing a fumble, making a sack, right?
right?
Am I
right?
adding stuff there, or did he do all that?
No, no, he did. He did all of that stuff, and he was an overall national player of the week, not just, you know, offensive or quarterback. So they both were. They both were recognized for that week, and then they both continued to do some of those things for the whole month of October.
Okay, so Lanning didn't come out of nowhere to do this year?
But he went from quarterback to linebacker.
He came from the other side of the ball, though. He came from a completely different position in his last year of school. That's amazing that they have those two. I wonder, will they have anything like this? How long will it be before they have another story? The ilk of either one of those. It could be a while. Most schools just
the uniqueness of it. It's hard to imagine.
That's why they've stood out so much on the national scene.
It is so unique. Murph and Andy Show, 1460 KXNO. I have gotten several messages about this recently, and I'm hoping that. And Andy, I know you're the same on this. It's Iowa Fight Night in Waverly, and former Hawkeye wrestler Thomas Gilman comes to the podium, and he is...
It's a wrestling, like a banquet almost. It's a wrestling night for big wrestling fans at Joe's Nighthawk, which is a really well-known bar in Waverly on the Wartburg campus, basically, just off it.
So there's Iowa.
So there's all sorts of real wrestling people there. Right, right. But I'm watching the video. This video has circulated a lot. I mean, people have really watched this. But it's a progression of really kind of the biggest names in wrestling in the state. Gable.
Yep.
Doug Schwab is there.
Dresser's there.
Kevin Dresser is there. A number of Mike Zadek is there. Now Tom Brands is not there. The Hawkeye coaching staff has sent Thomas Gilman, who is a very good wrestler at Iowa, is now finished there, but is part of the
Hawkeye Wrestling Club.
Right. They have sent him as their proxy to speak to the crowd at this fight night.
Yeah, and to be fair, just as we lead into this, if you haven't seen it, if you watch the whole hour or whatever it is, this kind of night has an element of kind of roasting, you know, some jabs, that kind of stuff, especially between the Hawkeyes and Cyclones and the rivalries. But Gilman seems to cross a line into what is uncomfortable and mean-spirited or kind of nasty at times. And maybe you can get a sense of that here.
He's dead serious.
It's too much. The Virginia Tech stuff is where it gets really personal and nasty. That doesn't feel like a roast anymore. That feels like a really public criticism of the way Kevin Dresser handled that.
Yeah, and I haven't ever seen this before, so I really don't know the context here. I don't know how this is usually handled, but I don't see Tom Brands as having that kind of a relationship with his rivals. Do you?
I don't.
I don't either. I
mean, there's always wrestlers are all different. We know that.
But this isn't a meet. It's like a it's like a banquet night where they get up there and talk. And I watched the other coaches get up and talk, and they didn't talk like this. So now, you know, Cyclone fans see this, and they have, and they're fired up. I mean, you want to inject some adrenaline back into this rivalry on the wrestling mat. This is how you do it. I mean, really, this is that just jump-started the thing.
Well, that...
But it makes me uncomfortable.
It made me uncomfortable. And the rivalry stuff, he has a point with that.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's been dead. That's why they switched coaches.
I mean, Iowa is absolutely dominating Iowa State and has for many years. There's like one anomaly year in there in the past 20 years or so. I mean, it's just, it's been domination by Iowa. So that even seems like within the bounds of a night like this, smack talk. But the boy, the dresser not finishing the season at Virginia Tech and all that is
cussing at the crowd and fight you in the parking lot. I mean, he's dead serious. And I know he's a different bird.
Well, and these guys, you know, eat like one peanut a day sometimes. So they're, you know, they're
a little nuts. Yeah. From starvation.
So,
yeah.
They're so hungry that that can be a factor. Let's if anybody knows more and we're missing something here and we're just not inside enough to understand that this was okay, give us a call at 284-5966, 284-KXNO. In the meantime, April is at it again next on the Murph and Andy Show.
Go, shorty. It's your birthday. We're going to party like it's your birthday.
All right, time for Guess Whose Birthday, powered by Rockstar Satellite of Des Moines. Murph, you're up first. Guess Whose Birthday?
Seems like yesterday we rock the show. I lace the track, you lock the flow. So far from hanging on the block of dough. Notorious, they got to know that.
My fame always what it seemed to be.
Is that
words can express what you mean to me?
Is that P. Diddy and whatever?
Yeah, I'll take any of his names, but yes, it is.
Brother Love.
Brother Love.
Brother Love is 49.
He's 48, so you get the point. Andy, guess whose birthday?
You learned plenty.
I learned plenty. I learned how to sand your decks, maybe. I wax your car, paint your house, paint your fence. I learned plenty.
That's Ralph Macchio.
It is.
Ralph Macchio is 54?
56. So that's a miss.
Oh, youngest 56-year-old in the world.
Murph, guess whose birthday?
Still had a pretty great night. Taking away the award for best actress thanks to La La Land.
Emma Stone.
It is.
She was in Superbad when she's like 17. That makes her 29, 30. That makes her 30.
She's 29. You get the point. Andy, guess whose birthday?
Life is a box of chocolates, fullest.
Sally Field.
It is.
Sally Field is 72.
She is 71. You get the point, but it doesn't matter, Murph. You win.
Thank you, Dan Holm, for the correction. Centennial opened in 2013. The Jaguars lost in the semifinals of state volleyball the first year, then won three straight titles from 2014 to 2016. So that makes this, what, year five?
Wow. Glad Dan's keeping track.
Time's flying.
Thank you, Dan. Let's get some more here on the Murph and Andy Show here on a Thursday.
It's time now for more, brought to you by Lithia Volkswagen of Des Moines. This is General Manager Tim Bowes, and I can assure you no dealer in Central Iowa gives you more than Lithia Volkswagen. For now, back to Murph and Andy.
Man, I got a real grab bag here today, guys. Buckle your seatbelt.
Oh, as opposed to your usual day?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is really going to jolt you around. Rumors are swirling about April the giraffe. You remember the one who became a viral sensation while she was pregnant in the spring?
I do. Long neck?
Yep, long neck. Yep. Tall.
Spots.
Really
tall spots,
yeah,
long
tall,
neck.
Blue tongue.
Yeah,
blue,
tall gal.
Real long tongue on her. Real, what? Quite a tongue.
Black tongue, kind of black.
Yeah, yeah, little, bluish, yeah. Blackish. Yeah,
yep,
right,
I know,
right.
April. Yep, I got you.
She was pregnant just this past spring, right? Well, rumor has it she may be pregnant again. Already? That's so irresponsible.
Well,
pregnant already? I mean, she's got a 7-month-old.
They call that Irish twins.
Yeah. Just right back at it. Now, the owner of the Animal Adventure Park in Harpersville, New York, will neither confirm nor deny the rumor. Like, what's he hiding? That sounds a little creepy.
It does sound a little.
Yeah, April is knocked up, or maybe.
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 Maybe. And that's a long pregnancy, too. Long one. I mean, it seemed like she was that viral video was going on for, we were waiting for weeks, right? It was like, any moment now, this baby is going to drop. And when I say drop, I mean it's going to drop from 4 feet up.
So it's not 9 months.
Gestation period, I think, with a giraffe is a lot longer than that. Anyway, President Obama showed up for jury duty yesterday in Chicago. He was dismissed from the jury. But this has prompted a whole new round of everybody's personal jury duty stories. Remember mine? Oh, man. That was, you have to do that sometime.
I've never been called.
You show up and you listen to people lie. Just tell a million lies about why they cannot serve on that jury. Oh, yeah, I would love to serve on this jury, Your Honor, but I have got a roller skating lesson that I can't get out of.
Too bad.
Just the craziest thing. There are people that are really depending on me. You're a parking lot attendant at the airport. Yeah, right, right. And if I'm not there, I mean, the parking at the airport just goes to hell. Just a million lies over and over again. Did you know that that even though 80% of India is Hindu and Hindus do not eat cows, India has more cows than the United States? In other news, TripAdvisor is trying to change its suddenly bad reputation. It's really had a rough time here lately. The TripAdvisor has been called on the carpet big time.
Yeah, and part of that, I saw a story on NBC Nightly News. Like, for instance, there is a they interviewed a mom on Nightly News who had her son had had some tainted alcohol and had died at an all-inclusive resort. And she had written a review about this, and so had some other people, and they were all taken down.
That
all those
is
reviews
exactly
were taken down.
What's been going on, right? Yeah, with TripAdvisor, there was a woman from Dallas who was raped. Says she was raped down at a resort in Riviera Maya area of Mexico, and couldn't, you know, had all kinds of trouble. Couldn't get the Mexican police to help her at all. Flew back here, flew back down there. Still couldn't get any help. Police chief down there, who was the one helpful person, was shot and killed in his car once, like 2 months into the investigation. So she comes back here, writes up, does really the only thing that she could do, writes up a long review on TripAdvisor of the resort that she was in. She says it was a resort employee. TripAdvisor took it down, said it was hearsay. So they have really been under fire from a lot of people that said that these negative reviews have been taken down, because TripAdvisor is kind of in cahoots with these resorts down there. Mm-hmm. They get a little portion of bookings that are made on their site with these resorts. But just as of today, they've come out and they've made these apologies, and they have red flagged 3 resorts in the Riviera Maya area of Mexico.
Which is just a death blow to those resorts.
Huge. I mean, because TripAdvisor is the number one travel review site in the world.
And we use it all the time.
All the time. Yeah. Very, very helpful. But there are 3 different resorts there in the Riviera Maya, and man, are they in trouble. Netflix's prices are going up. $1 to $3, depending on your package. Why? Quote, so we can add more of what you like to watch, unquote. Not so they can make more money. They're doing it for you, Murph.
Under the impression that there's not enough options? This is one of the problems I have now, is I start doing the and I can't decide, and then I'm like, oh,
yeah, you'll waste 90 minutes picking a movie.
I spent the time I had to watch a movie perfect movie instead of just pressing play. I don't need more options. Save the $2.
Yeah, right. You do not need more options. But, you know, their costs are going up. They're producing all sorts of original programming.
Yeah, how about only giving Dave Chappelle $10 million per hour of comedy?
Yeah. They're doing it for you, Andrew.
Pay Adam Sandler less for those movies.
Well, they'll save some money on Louis C.K.
Ooh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ooh. Wow.
Mm. Louis C.K., U2, at 2, man. Allegedly.
When's this going to end?
Not soon.
Not soon.
Not soon, because the dam has broken.
Oh, man. It is wide open. The water is flowing through it. Hamilton tickets go on sale in Des Moines a week from tomorrow.
Shh.
Hey. Hey, too late. The register has it on the front page.
By the way, how cool is that Lin-Manuel Miranda, do I have that right?
Yeah.
He's going to get back into the role in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, that's great. He has a year to learn the lines again.
I could help him. I think I know them all.
$54 all the way up to $148.50. And that's going to be the Civic Center.
Yep.
Which those seats are all. There aren't any bad seats at the Civic Center.
There will be StubHub price inflation on those tickets. That's going to be
Sort of premier seats that are over $300 for this. It's going to run June 27th to July 15th the next summer. You can buy... Excuse me.
Are you okay?
You can buy tickets online beginning 45 minutes ahead of time at dmpa.org. This has got to be the most anticipated production at the Civic Center in years. Right?
Yeah,
landing
maybe
Hamilton.
Ever.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know it well enough.
One of the first years, you know, one of the first traveling shows for it to come through Des Moines is pretty spectacular.
For the Civic Center to land it.
Yeah.
Just to land it shows how well the Civic Center is doing here in Des Moines. Yet another thing we have going for us here. A new driverless shuttle in Las Vegas debuted yesterday. It immediately hit a truck. Or the truck hit it. I'm not sure. I don't know whose fault it is. They couldn't interview the driver. There is no driver.
Right. The driver doesn't have to appear in court.
Yeah, what happens there?
This is everyone's fear about driverless cars. It's just someone's not in control.
Is there somebody driving the subway? Somebody drives the subway, right?
Yeah,
don't they kind of drive the subway? What, do they just push the button forward or back?
Start and stop.
Yeah, they have to do something. They're in there, right? I've seen Money Train.
Other driverless vehicles already? Like, it's driverless transportation. Is there some kind of driverless?
Other than
an escalator, a people mover. Yeah, it didn't work out so well. Three Republican lawmakers in Wisconsin they are proposing lowering the state's drinking age to 19.
That won't happen.
Hadn't been there since 1984.
Tell
me why it won't happen.
Because
I'll tell you if you're onto something.
There'll be extreme pushback, Mothers Against Drunk Driving and other groups. Lawmakers, I think, will be under intense pressure to keep the law at 21. It's just one of those things that it doesn't work. I mean, most people at 19 are drinking. So they're knowingly breaking the law, and everybody's looking the other way, and it all seems a little silly.
This is a great talker, but you're right. It has very, very little chance of going anywhere. First of all, Wisconsin would lose its federal highway money, which is over $50 million a year.
Well, it's dead right there, then.
Governor Scott Walker has not returned any calls for comment on this. That doesn't think that he has much interest in this. And, I mean, honestly, think about it. Do adults... 21 and over really want this? Do you see any good of 19 and 20 year olds being able to drink legally? Having been a 19 and a 20 year old before, I've been both of those things.
Yep.
I do not see now any reason why I needed to have that right 2 years earlier.
But did it stop you?
It did not stop me, and it didn't. Not and drinking then didn't make my life really any better. I wouldn't say that drinking illegally as opposed to legally had any impact on my life.
So I'll go the other way on it. I think one of the reasons I didn't drink until I was of legal age is because 19 didn't seem that far off. If it had been 21,
Was it 21 when you were that age?
It was 19.
So it was 19. Okay. Well, so you did drink legally at 19.
I did. But I did not drink prior to that, partly because I was waiting until I turned 19.
I wasn't like, you know, in my 20s and looking back and saying, man, I still wish that I could have drank at 19 and 20. I was like, 21 is fine, right? I mean, once you hit 21, you do not care about that law anymore. It does not even occur to you. As a matter of fact, you like it when people card you because they're telling you you look young. A woman in Vero Beach, Florida, was arrested for using the self-checkout at Walmart where she paid $3.70 for nearly $2,000 worth of stuff, including a computer. She got caught. It was just a little bit obvious. $3.70 and she's walking out with a computer. 25-year-old Cheyenne Amber West told police the computer was for her husband. She told them he just bought her a Coach purse, so she wanted to get him something nice.
That's sweet.
This story has a heart.
I guess she took the stuff into a different part of the store and actually took it out of its original box and put it in the box of some clearance items. But do Pete, you know that there are cameras in Walmart, right? I mean, not just at the cash register, but like everywhere. Like everywhere.
Yeah, I would assume.
There are everywhere cameras.
I always think that, you know, even some of like knickknacks probably have cameras in them. You don't even know it.
Yeah, there's probably a camera on the box of raisins in the clearance aisle.
Yeah.
That's half open. She got caught, and she's in trouble. She was released on $3,000 bond, which, again, is $1,000 more than all of the items that she attempted to steal. That's your more.
Zeke Elliott has lost in court today. So he may serve his 6-game suspension at a really bad time, but we've been here about 7 times before, so who knows? The Cowboys play the Eagles next, right? I think that's right. Yeah, big game.
It's a big one.
Okay. We'll see that. It'll probably change again by the time we're back with throwdowns.
Don't let me throw it down. It's time for throwdowns. Powered by Heartland Tire and Auto Center.
Let's throw it down, Murph. Basketball season begins tomorrow night for Iowa and Iowa State, and preseason predictions haven't been kind to the Hawkeyes and Cyclones. What would be more surprising to you, Iowa finishing 8th in the Big Ten or Iowa State finishing 10th in the Big 12?
Ooh.
Those are about the worst predictions I've seen.
Those are the two worst I've seen, too, and I don't expect either one of those. I don't think either is realistic, but of those two, Iowa finishing 8th would surprise me more. Iowa State is completely turning over the roster. One returning starter, so not completely, but close. Iowa's loaded. I just 8th place? If Iowa finishes in 8th place, it would be time for Hawkeye fans to have serious questions about the direction of the program with all that talent.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. I know what I'm getting with Iowa. I don't have to try to picture that team. I've already seen that team. I mean, I know Peter Jock's not on it, but I've seen the rest of those guys. I assume they're getting better, that they've gotten better in the time since I last saw them, that they'll continue to get better this year. They'll be able to fill in that hole. They played without him last year, though. I mean, for a few games, I remember this team. I've seen it. Iowa State, I can't picture that team right now. I cannot imagine them finishing that poorly in the Big 12, but at least there is that, you know, element of the unknown with Iowa State. With Iowa, it's just not there. I just cannot picture that. Iowa State, I can at least say I don't know what I can picture at this point.
Andy, one of the great things about the college football playoff is the discussion about which teams deserve to get into that top four, and much of that may be lost if the playoff expanded. Would you like to see expansion to 8 or more teams, or are you happy for now with 4?
I can go another year with 4 because I'm still having fun with it, but no, I do want to see it expanded eventually. I think that this is just it is too good a concept. This is too much fun. I do not see expanding it to only 8 teams diluting the quality of the playoff. I just see there being a better chance for teams that we follow of getting into that 8-team pool as opposed to a 4-team pool. And if you have a better shot at having a dog in the fight, then you're more interested in it. So, yeah, I want to see it expanded eventually.
I want to see it expanded, too, because I think the discussion would just move down to the 9 and 10 spots there. I don't think it would hurt the buzz about college football. In fact, I think it would enhance it because, as we discovered a couple of years at the Rose Bowl, if you're not in the college football playoff, these all feel like really nice vacation exhibitions. They no longer feel like important games anymore the way they used to. So you got to get more people into the important part, which is the playoff. And here in Iowa, you got to really want for that because it's much more realistic that we'd get a team into the 8 versus the 4.
Murph, we have a new coworker, Alex, who will be on the air on our sister station, Alt 106.3. He is brand new to Des Moines. What's the first thing you would tell him to do?
Go TP Andy's house. That's fun. Everybody will enjoy it. We'll get pictures. No, first thing I'd say is just go, you know, with a friend or coworker, or if you know anybody yet, and walk around the East Village. I think that's kind of the downtown area along the Riverwalk. I think those are the kind of places, I think that's a visit you make, and then you feel really good about the city you live in. You see cool stores, cool restaurants, cool bars, pianos on the corner, a Riverwalk that's very scenic, a ballpark on the river. I just think all of those things make you feel like, oh, hey, Des Moines, this is way better than I expected. Look at Wells Fargo Arena right there by the beautiful river.
I would tell them to actually move downtown. It is getting so cool down there, and there's so many different cool places to live that I get a little jealous of the people like Admire, you know, gets to live downtown. That wasn't even an option for me when I moved here. No, nobody lived downtown. There were like some old people lived down here. That was it. Now it's like the happening place, and you got a crazy amount of choices down there. And one of the great things about living in Des Moines is that you can be in the city and not be choking on traffic and a ton of people and crime, and you can really, really enjoy the city. Don't live way, way, way out in the suburbs. That defeats the whole purpose of living in Des Moines. You love the short or no commute and actually being able to get down into the city, enjoy all the good things and none of the bad.
All right, the poll's up on Twitter at Murph underscore Andy. Who won Throwdowns? Was it Murph or was it Andy?
Hour number two of the Murph and Andy Show coming up next. We'll get it started with Trending Iowa, and Mr. Movie will join us at 3:30.